Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
My Brother Could See Ghosts by Zoe. It's me, Zoe again, and this is the follow-up to the story about my brother being able to see ghosts. Now that he's 13, as I've said before, he doesn't seem to see them anymore. In our Filipino beliefs, the older you get, the less attuned you are to the supernatural. Some people keep it. And some people lose it at a certain age. That's my brother. But when he was younger, especially after the events from when he was 2, he was very sensitive to the supernatural. We had a caretaker when my brother was around 4 or 5. She was with him 24/7, especially when my parents were at work or sleeping since they worked the night shift. Every afternoon after lunch, she would bring him to the primary bedroom, play with him for a bit, then put him down for a nap. Our parents were out at the time, so it was just me, the caretaker, and my little brother in the house. We were in the primary bedroom. I was playing a game on the PC, and my brother was being coaxed into lying down for his nap. But he refused. He was so adamant about not sleeping on the bed. When his caretaker asked him why, my brother said, with his voice quivering, "There's an old man lying down on my spot." The caretaker and I looked at each other. Then I bolted out of the room. She grabbed my brother, and we stayed inside her room for the rest of the afternoon, terrified. A few days later, he saw the same apparition again. This time it was on the 3rd floor balcony. We were all in the lounge area on the 3rd floor, like a mini living room, watching TV. It was already dark outside. My mom, who used to smoke, got up from the couch, grabbed her pack of cigarettes, and walked toward the balcony door. My brother stopped her. "Don't go out there, Mom." She asked why. He frowned and said, "There's an old man outside, waiting for you." I remember feeling a shiver down my spine. The hairs on my arms and neck stood up. I begged her not to open the door. Safe to say, my mom locked the balcony door, turned on the outside lights, and didn't smoke again until morning. There was another incident. It was the weekend. My mom and stepdad were home. My stepdad was downstairs cooking, and my mom was on the third floor with my brother. I was at my dad's place, so I'm basing this on what my mom told me. She noticed my brother fidgeting. His eyes darted left to right. He was making small, scared whimpers. Sensing that he might be seeing something, she brought him into the bedroom and put him to sleep. When he was finally calm and napping, my mom decided to take a shower. But as she was finishing up, my brother woke up sobbing and panicking, calling out for her. Still in her towel, she grabbed him and even tried giving him a cold shower to calm him down. For a while it worked. He was calm until they went back into the bedroom and she started dressing him. That's when he began panicking again. His eyes darted everywhere. He was on the verge of tears, gripping the doorknob. "Mom, I want to go out. Please, I want to go out, Mom." He rattled the doorknob desperately. My mom told me she was terrified. But she had to be brave for him. So bravely, or maybe stupidly, she asked, "Where? Where the hell is the ghost?" My brother, now fully crying, pointed at her. In a small voice, he said, "Behind you, peeking." My mom froze. Behind her was a wall, a concrete wall. Horrified but still trying to be brave, she gathered the last of her courage, grabbed my brother, and ran downstairs, screaming for my stepdad, still in her towel. It didn't stop there. Whatever was haunting him even visited him in his dreams. We were on the third floor again. My brother was asleep on the couch. My mom was on her laptop. I was playing with my dolls on the floor. My stepdad was on the second floor working. Suddenly, my brother woke up, screaming and crying. He scrambled toward my mom so fast that he kicked me in the face. I couldn't even be mad because I saw how horrified he looked. My mom held him and asked what was wrong, but he was sobbing, words coming out incoherently. So she let him calm down first. The three of us went down to the first floor, and we stayed near the front of the house. When we were younger, my mom always taught us to be kind to our siblings, so I did everything I could to help him feel better. We rode our scooters in circles, played tag, and for a while, he seemed to forget whatever had happened in his sleep. Until dinner. We were all sitting at the table when my mom brought it up again. She really wanted to know what had caused him to wake up like that. My brother grew quiet. He stopped eating. Finally, he said, "I saw my twin." He didn't have a twin. When my mom asked him to explain, he said, "He was sitting on the bed, looking at me. He looked like me. He was smiling. Then he made his head super big, like a balloon. It was turning red. It got so big, and then it popped. There was blood everywhere." We were silent. My mom quickly changed the subject, because even just imagining that was horrifying. He had many more episodes, but these are the ones I remember most vividly from his childhood. I'm just glad he's better now that he's older. As much as it terrified me and my family, it must have been even harder for a small child to see things that terrible.
My wife and I met a non-human by choir. When I was 14, my friend and I had 3 hours completely unaccounted for, and we woke up in places we would not have gone to sleep in. Also, when I awoke, I experienced sleep paralysis. Very likely an abduction from what I've read. When I was 32, a non-human visited me and my wife in our bedroom. He was a much higher vibration than us. He was definitely real, just very out of phase, to borrow a Star Trek term. The encounter had a dreamlike quality despite us being awake. My wife was very afraid, but I was able to have quite an extensive telepathic conversation. He uploaded countless images, texts, symbols, and information to me, and it was superimposed in my open eye vision. He even gave me advice when it came to things I had been doing through meditation. One of my takeaways from the second encounter is that meeting these beings has always been a way of making us face our inner fear-based belief systems. We project them onto our own fear when we meet them. So, a person with very little fear will have more of a pleasant experience than someone who will have a lot of inner work to do, relatively speaking. For example, someone who hates people that are a different race than them, immigrants, or women, would be much more terrified than a Taoist monk. These people could experience the same entity at the same time, and the less emotionally mature individuals would be instantly forced to face their fears. The non-human is doing this on purpose. It has something to do with the physics of consciousness, and we just don't understand that yet. So yeah, if the idea excites you, please buy a shadow work journal and begin the process of introspection. It may just help you experience more of the world.
A well-built wardrobe comes down to versatile pieces that last. That's where Quince stands out. Premium fabrics, thoughtful design, and everyday essentials that are easy to wear and hold up season after season. Quince makes high-quality products that actually last. Lightweight Mongolian cashmere sweaters and polos, linen shorts and bottoms, tees in 100% Pima cotton, and European jersey linen. Versatile staples built to work across seasons. The cashmere is 100% Mongolian. The Pima cotton is super soft and durable. The European jersey linen is breathable and lightweight. Everything is made to handle regular wear and maintain its shape and feel. Rated 4.5 to 5 stars by thousands of customers. They partner directly with top factories that meet strict craftsmanship and ethical standards, and eliminate retail markups, so you're paying for materials and construction, not branding. Just give me quality all day long. If you're like me, you can appreciate good loungewear and prefer keeping things all natural whenever possible. And if you're not like me, I think you'll be converted after trying Quince's organic heavyweight fleece joggers. They're 100% cotton and just so comfortable. The worst part of my day is actually having to take them off. Stop overcomplicating your wardrobe. You don't need a closet full of options. You just need a few pieces that actually work and last. Right now, go to quince.com/trails for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to build your wardrobe and love it. And you will. Now available in Canada, too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/trails for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/trails.
Moro Casino, America. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Haunted Airbnb by Tao. 3 years ago, my family, my mom, older sister, adult niece, and I visited my cousin in Jacksonville, Florida. A few weeks before our trip, my cousin called to tell us she had booked an Airbnb about 5 minutes from her house, since she didn't have enough room for all four of us. It was a nice, cute, beach-themed house with four bedrooms and two bathrooms, one of them connected to the main bedroom. The only strange thing we noticed at first were the oddly large piles of dead bugs throughout the house. When we arrived, though, nothing felt off. We excitedly ran in to claim our bedrooms for the week. Side note, we live in an apartment, so having an entire house to ourselves felt like a luxury. Also, keep in mind that my family and I are no strangers to the paranormal. We believe in ghosts. If we seem calm throughout this story, it's because we were. And none of us mentioned our experiences to each other during the stay. I'll start with my sister's experience, since she was the first to notice something. When she reached the end of the hallway, near the main bedroom, she heard the sound of a doorknob being jiggled, like someone was trying to open the bedroom next to it. Curious, she opened that door and glanced inside. Right then, my niece walked up behind her and jokingly said, "Hey, that's my bedroom." My sister looked at her seriously and said, "Oh, I thought I heard something." My niece's face dropped. "What do you mean you heard something?" Seeing how scared she looked, my sister quickly brushed it off and said maybe she imagined it. She stepped aside and let my niece take that room, while she chose the main bedroom instead. During the week, my sister would wake up in the middle of the night to noises in her bathroom. She kept all her makeup and hygiene products scattered around the sink. And the sounds were like someone was in there doing their makeup, constantly picking things up and dropping them. The first time it happened, she went into the bathroom and turned on the light. Nothing was out of place. Nothing had fallen. After that, whenever it happened again, she just ignored it and went back to sleep. Next is my niece. Remember how her bedroom was right next to my sister's? Their closets shared a wall. At night, my niece sometimes heard loud knocking coming from her closet. She tried to ignore it, distracting herself with YouTube videos on her phone until she could fall back asleep. What's strange is that my sister never mentioned hearing knocking, even though their closets were back to back. Now, my experiences. My bed was pushed up against one wall. Normally, I don't like sleeping with my door open, but I didn't feel comfortable being alone in an unfamiliar house. So I left it cracked. My mom also kept the hallway light on at night, so we could see if we got up to use the bathroom. One night, I was lying in bed facing the wall, watching videos on my tablet. I heard what sounded like a small object dropping onto the floor, like a pin or nail. I turned around quickly, using the hallway light to see if anything was on the ground. Nothing. I turned back toward the wall, but I couldn't shake that feeling that I wasn't alone in the room, so I repositioned my tablet and faced outward instead, watching the rest of my videos while staring into the room. I didn't hear anything else. Eventually, I fell asleep. Another night, I walked into the kitchen looking for something. Instead of turning on the light, I relied on the dim hallway light. I'm not sure why. I wish I had just turned it on. When I rounded the corner from the kitchen into the dining area, I saw something in my peripheral vision. A quick flash of a person-shaped shadow. What stood out was that it looked like it was wearing the same pajamas my mom had on. Giraffes printed on them. The hallway light almost illuminated the pattern. I fully turned toward where I saw it. Nothing was there. I immediately went to my mom's bedroom. She was in bed, fully snuggled under the covers, watching videos on her iPad. Now, finally, for my mom's experiences. Like me, she kept her door cracked. One night, while lying in bed, she saw someone walk past her doorway. She got up and walked over to my room, poked her head in, and asked if I had just walked by. But I said no. I'd been in bed the whole time. My sister and niece both slept with their doors closed, and my mom never heard any doors. Another time during our stay, she felt someone tug on the back of her shirt. She turned around and no one was there. Despite all of that, we enjoyed our visit. We never felt unsafe in the house. On the way to the airport, my mom suddenly asked us, "Did you girls notice anything weird in that house?" I nearly jumped out of my seat. "Yeah, actually I did. Did you see or hear something too?" That's when we all finally shared what we'd experienced. My cousin, who was driving us, was shocked and apologetic. She had no idea. When we got home, we talked about it some more. I asked my cousin for the Airbnb listing so I could read the reviews. Every review was positive. No complaints, no strange experiences, nothing unexplained. We were all left confused. Was there something there that only chose to show itself to us?
Twin Peaks in Mount Hood by Forsaken Hornet 2909. About 3 years ago in September, my friend, who I'll call Agatha, and I drove up the southwestern base of Mount Hood to view planets with her new telescope. We often go to national forests for stargazing and hikes, and we're both experienced woodswomen. I've had my fair share of strange encounters with other people in the forests, from stumbling upon occult rituals to people living off the grid, but those are stories of their own. All of this to say, neither of us really spook easily, and we're very used to the diverse sights and sounds of the forests. Agatha had been to the spot where we were heading before. It's a dispersed campsite off a medium-use forest service road. We wanted to go to this particular spot because we knew it was high enough in elevation that we'd lose a lot of light pollution, and not so high that we'd run into snow. It was a decent spot for stargazing, with about a 150-foot diameter clearing that was mostly dirt and gravel. Though Agatha had been there before, I never had, and I wanted to drive a bit further up the mountain to see if we could find a slightly less treed view. So we drove another few minutes up the road. Along the way, we spotted a tent about 60 feet off to the right side of the road that looked like another dispersed campsite. The odd thing was that there wasn't a vehicle parked at the site, just a tent. Another odd thing was that it was pretty cold to be camping in a standard 2- or 3-season camp-style tent. Night temperatures, that time of year, at that elevation, are around 30 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And that night, it was about 36. When I pointed it out to Agatha, she slowed down a bit to check it out. I was concerned that maybe someone had left the tent, and if so, we would take it down and dispose of it properly. So she slowed down to about 5 miles per hour, and I briefly shone a light toward the tent, but not directly on it, in case someone was inside and asleep. In the 10 seconds or so it took for us to slowly drive by, it looked like maybe the tent wasn't fully zipped up, and I could see through the mesh door. It also looked like it was improperly assembled. We didn't think anything about this, we just kept driving. We said we would check out the tent fully on our way back down to determine if it was a dumped item. We drove maybe another 1 or 2 minutes when the road narrowed severely as it curved on an incline. We were used to changes like that because Forest Service roads are known to be wily. For whatever reason, Agatha came to a full stop before taking the curve and said, "I don't think we should go any further." I replied, "Okay, well, why?" She said, "I don't know, but I'm turning around and I'm going to the spot we originally came here for." I was slightly concerned because she sounded upset, but I chalked it up to her just being excited to finally use her telescope. She reversed about 50 feet and turned the truck around to head back to the clearing. As we approached the spot where the tent was, I took off my headlamp and I handed it to Agatha so that she could shine it out her window on the left side of the road toward the tent. The weird thing is, it seemed like it had moved maybe 30 to 50 feet down the road. It just didn't seem like it was in the same spot before, you know? Once we saw it to the left of the headlights, she came to a full stop in the road, right in front of it. What was even creepier is that it now seemed to be closer to the road than it was before. But since I wasn't thinking too much about it the first time around, I just assumed it was one of those fallible eyewitness memory moments and I just let it go, but I could only let that go for about 5 seconds. I don't know what came over Agatha, but she decided to shine the headlamp at full blast directly on the tent. Whoa, wait a minute, I said. We still don't know if there might be someone sleeping in there. But as soon as I looked at the tent, I shut up. I stared at it for about 10 seconds before I said, "What the hell are we looking at? Is that a tent?" Agatha said, "Yeah, I think so. It's just upside down." I blinked my eyes a bunch, thinking maybe the cold air caused them to water and it was messing with my vision. I stared for another 5 seconds, and I don't know how else to explain this, but it looked like I was staring at a Picasso painting of a cabin-style tent. Nothing was where it was supposed to be. I looked away for a few moments, thinking maybe I should have brought my glasses, and I couldn't believe my night vision was suddenly so awful. At this point, I noticed a feeling of uneasiness creeping up on me, but I shrugged it off. I asked Agatha if she saw anyone in the tent. She took a few seconds to answer me and said, "Dude, to be completely honest, I don't know what the hell I'm seeing, but yeah, I think I saw someone's bare legs sticking up in the air." My heart went straight into my throat, and I immediately thought, "Oh no. Someone is, in fact, inside, and they're either dead or dying of exposure." Agatha whispered, "What the hell is that?" I looked towards the tent again, and for a split second, it almost looked like there were someone's bare legs sticking up, as if they were on a cot in a dead bug position with slightly bent knees. But this was through the mesh part of the door, so I couldn't make it out completely. I blinked my eyes a bit, because for whatever reason, this damn tent was hard to look at. And when I opened my eyes, in that millisecond of blinking, the mesh door was closed and the legs were gone. This whole time, it still looked like a Picasso painting, and I started to get a headache because it felt like my brain just couldn't reconcile what I was seeing, even though it was a seemingly ordinary object. It was so disjointed and out of proportion, and it seemed to shift every time I blinked. Agatha stared at it, mumbling, "What the hell?" every few seconds, when she suddenly shook her head, rolled up the window, and said, "Let's just go. Someone is probably sleeping in it." I have no idea why she came to that conclusion or why I went along with it, aside from the fact that it was the only reasonable explanation at the time. We both experienced out-of-the-ordinary things in the wilderness, so while this was definitely strange and caused us both to be on higher alert, we didn't panic. We rationalized the weirdness away. But of course, that didn't last long because this night was determined to be strange. We left the tent and whoever may or may not have been sleeping in it, and we pulled into the gravel clearing 5 minutes down the road. We both put on our headlamps and scoped the area for trash and critters. The first odd thing to happen in this area was that while we were at the edge of the clearing, Agatha almost fell flat on her face. What's weird about this is that she's an avid outdoors woman with lots of experience walking at night, on and off trails, with or without light, and not tripping or falling. About a minute later, the same thing happened to me. As I walked from the edge of the clearing back to where we had set up the tarp and blanket, I tripped and almost fell backward. This happened to both of us about half a dozen times or more, tripping over nothing and stumbling over our own feet. It was almost like the ground wasn't where it was supposed to be. Rationally, I could say everyone has off days, and in my case, I hadn't been there before. But she had, and she was familiar with the area. Plus, I routinely visit new places, and I don't recall ever tripping and stumbling like that outside of genuinely treacherous terrain or creek walking. So, I don't know. Make of that what you will. Again, we brushed off the weirdness. She went about setting up her telescope. I laid down the tarp while she tried to get Jupiter in view. She spent maybe 3 minutes setting up the telescope and about 30 minutes trying to lock in on Jupiter. Every time she got lined up with the scope and took a moment to stand up straight, so all of 3 seconds, she would bend down to the eyepiece again and Jupiter would be gone. That whole time, I was lying on top of the tarp with a crocheted blanket draped over me, perfectly comfortable. I didn't notice how comfortable I was until she asked me to come over and look through the scope to see if I could keep Jupiter in sight. As soon as I stood up, I noticed a temperature change from where I had been lying down. It was suddenly much colder. Not like a wave of cold air. The air was still. It was like the temperature on the ground was 15 to 20 degrees warmer than the ambient temperature. I also couldn't keep a bead on Jupiter. After another 5 minutes of trying, we gave up and laid back down on the tarp. We just wanted to try stargazing. After chilling out in the silence for a few minutes, I realized Agatha didn't have a blanket, so I asked if she wanted to share mine. "No thanks, I'm not cold," she replied. This was odd because she is one of those people who's always cold. For her to decline a blanket was just another check on the list of anomalies for the night. I mentioned that to her, and I told her I had noticed a temperature change from about 10 to 12 inches off the ground. I wish I had thought to put my hand directly on the ground to feel if it was cold or not, but at the time, none of this was registering as something to pay much attention to. As I was staring up at the sky, which was perfectly clear, I noticed that it was split in two, running east to west. The best way I can describe it is that there was an invisible line demarcating half of the sky into a northern and southern section. The northern side was somehow lighter than the southern section. It almost looked like the north side was affected by light pollution, whereas the south wasn't. But it gets stranger. As soon as I noticed the split sky phenomenon, I also noticed the stars on either side were twinkling at different rates. As soon as I focused on the stars, the split reversed. The south was now lighter and the north was darker. I pointed it out to Agatha, and she watched for a while and confirmed she saw the same thing happening. We chalked it up to some unknown natural phenomenon. I still haven't gotten a solid answer for how this happened, though. It wasn't light pollution because the line was stark, not diffused or fuzzy. The sun had set about an hour and a half earlier, so it wasn't the twilight wedge. After another 10 minutes passed, I was so comfortable I felt like I could fall asleep. In fact, I was starting to close my eyes when Agatha suddenly sat up and shook me. She said she saw a light coming from approximately where the Picasso tent had been, through the tree line to the southwest. I didn't bother sitting up. I just turned my head and I looked in that direction. I asked if she thought it was a flashlight, and she said maybe, but it seemed too high off of the ground. She said it was probably the person staying in that tent, and maybe they had just gotten back from a night hike, or were going to the bathroom. She agreed and laid back down on the tarp. Some time passed. I lost track of the minutes as I was starting to doze off, but I guess it was anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. I was perfectly comfortable, lulled into a light sleep, maybe even a mild hypnagogic state, when I suddenly sat bolt upright. Agatha was still lying down and appeared to have fallen asleep. There was no noise. Nothing discernible woke me up. I looked toward the tree line to the southwest and I saw a light. For a split second, I was congratulating myself for having such sharp senses that I could tell when someone was walking with a flashlight that far away, but that faded quickly when I noticed another light, and then another. I had one of those moments where my mind couldn't piece together what I was seeing again, and I couldn't match it to anything I had seen before. There were a total of 3 lights, or orbs. I wasn't seeing beams of light emitting from the flashlights. I was seeing orbs of light floating independently through the upper half of the tree canopy towards us. They were maintaining a triangular formation but rotating around one another. They had a bluish hue, kind of like cheap LED sun lamps. I couldn't say for certain how large they were because I had no frame of reference aside from the tree line, which was about 50 feet away from where I was sitting, but the orbs were not directly at the edge of the clearing. They seemed to be much farther away. I could tell they were coming towards us as they appeared to be getting slightly larger as I stared at them. I shook Agatha and I pointed toward the tree line. She turned her head in that direction and then shot up to her feet. She grabbed her telescope and I stood up and wadded the tarp and blanket up. We threw everything into the bed of her truck without putting the telescope back in its case or anything, and we floored it out of there. I had never felt dread like that. I was in full fight or flight mode, to such a high degree that I felt like I wanted to run while I was inside the truck. The panic was so intense that my breathing was erratic and my hands went numb for a few minutes. We didn't speak until we got fully out of the forest and onto Highway 26. Once we saw another car passing in the opposite direction, we both sighed with relief and started in with a bunch of "what the hell." To this day, I don't have any answers. It was such a bizarre mishmash of innocuous occurrences. Each thing on its own was barely strange, but I can't help but think that the temperature change, the ground feeling wonky, the Picasso tent, and the sky splitting were somehow related to seeing the orbs. Then again, it is the brain's job to try and make sense of everything, even when there's nothing to make sense of. Our panicked reaction and shared sense of dread were also very strange and out of character for both of us. It was a sudden, visceral reaction. It felt like there had to be something else at play to make us both react that way. Hopefully someone else here has some insight into potential rational explanations. Otherwise, I guess it's aliens. Are you one of those people that actually likes your money? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for just $15 a month might be right for you. When you look at what big carriers charge compared to Mint, the difference is pretty dramatic. You're still getting high-speed data and unlimited talk with text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're just not paying inflated prices for it. And that's exactly what I was looking at when I was searching for a new provider. The service quality people expect is there. It's the oversized bill that's missing. Stop overpaying for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Mint exists purely to fix that. Bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. No long-term contracts, no hassle. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/trails. That's mintmobile.com/trails. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardy Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardy Alliance today.
Shubidoo-wah is back on Spotify comments, referencing episode 221. They say, I always thought my forks were mysteriously disappearing, but when I really thought about it, I remembered all the times I got a burrito bowl from Chipotle, only ate half of it, put the metal fork inside the bowl in the fridge for later. I've done that. I actually never eat the leftovers, though, and I forget the fork is in there and throw the whole thing away. I would bet all my forks are in a landfill. Rest in peace to them. That's a logical conclusion to come to, and I thought of that as well, because I do that sometimes, but it's not often. It's definitely not often.
At least the fork is metal and not plastic, so it's okay.
Yeah.
The only way I can eat Chipotle is just knowing I'm going to re-eat it, though, because it's just so expensive. That's how I can justify pizza. I know at least a large pizza will usually last me a second meal, so
yeah,
Chipotle is one of those things. You got to finish it. Got to finish it.
At least Chipotle gives you a lot of food. It may, like, their quality may have gone downhill a bit, but, well, wait. Have they not?
No, not at all.
So you're telling me that their food's just smaller now, like everybody else?
At least their burritos. Yeah, I think with the bowl, unless they maybe got smaller serving spoons or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, I know their burritos are just depressingly small.
Dang. Last time I did go to Chipotle, it was a ton of food. That was a Chipotle in Portland, and that was like a couple of years ago. So things have probably changed since then.
Definitely over the past couple of years. Yeah. Okay,
that sucks. Anyway, Mr. Vosh 103 says, when the two of you were talking about vents, this reminded me of that X-Files episode with the guy who would crawl through the vents and eat people. Did you watch X-Files? I don't know if we talked about this or not.
Yeah. That was one of the earlier episodes, like in the first season. That was a good one.
Yep. That's the only season I really watched all the way through. I've seen an episode here and there from each season, but I've never sat down and watched it all. But I do remember that episode vividly because, and I think a lot of fans agree, it's one of the scariest.
Yeah. I think the payoff is worth it, finishing the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Luther says, I also don't believe in exorcisms, never bought it. Yeah, exorcisms and specifically possession is what I was mostly referring to. The exorcism is the reaction or the cure to said possession. But yeah, I'm with you. Gabrielle Nagy says, I'm pleased to learn that you're both fellow Subi lovers who also hate touchscreens and miss buttons. What's funny is, while we definitely went off on a rant about Subis in that episode, I think it was 217,
we cut like a good 10 minutes of us just
a lot of it
talking yep. about our cross tracks and all of the details that we hate and miss and want.
I think we forgot we were recording at some point. We were just chatting away and it became way too much, but it's okay. A car is just like a tool, like even phones. I think it's weird to say, oh, I love my phone. It's who cares? You know, it either works or it doesn't.
Let's see. We had some more feedback from one of the authors, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we actually have a couple emails here.
Okay.
Andre had a question, though. He says, I love the show so much. Been listening to every single episode. I'm trying to find an episode if you guys can help me out. It's the one about Highway 666. I don't remember this one, so maybe if the listeners can chime in, leave a comment or something, or shoot us an email, we can get back to Andre and let them know what's going on.
I don't know if it was a story about Highway 666 or if it was us talking about it, because we did talk about it, how Highway 666 or Exit 666 gets skipped over on like
perhaps
Highway
yeah.
5 or something like that. I don't remember a Highway 666. Yeah, if the listeners, you guys are really good sleuths with this kind of stuff, let us know. Send us an email, pop in the Discord, what episode that was, because I'd love to go back and listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also notably here, Tao, the author of the haunted Airbnb story, at the end of their submission, they added, love you guys, love the podcast. I've been listening since the beginning and submitted my sleep paralysis story that Andy read in episode 13, way back when. Went on to say, I'm still experiencing sleep paralysis occasionally, but have not seen the Hat Man since. Anyways, F the haters. Keep the banter at the end. I know, I'm so silly. Keep the banter at the end because the real ones will stay and listen. Stay safe, y'all. Much love. So much love. Count how many times they said love.
Lots of love.
Sounds like a good time to roll right into Tao's story then.
Yeah, yeah, I liked this one. And I have a question for you before we get into the details.
Sure.
Would you leave a review about a ghost or a haunting after a spooky Airbnb visit? And the reason I'm asking you is because it's kind of like Lyft or Uber, where you can get stuck in review purgatory, where you could get reviewed poorly as a guest, like they could retaliate.
Oh.
And then that could ruin your reputation on Airbnb, and hosts won't want to book you. Would you risk it to be able to give a bad review about a haunting?
I would probably do like a happy medium, and I would talk about it on here, but I wouldn't put the actual Airbnb on blast.
Okay.
But at the same time, that could be a good marketing gimmick. Look at all the haunted dolls, quote unquote haunted dolls, that are on eBay. Sometimes that can be a good thing.
Wonder if there's a feature to search for haunted places on Airbnb, or if there's a haunted Airbnb alternative. That would be cool.
That's a good business idea, at least. We could probably do that, or maybe even make a directory that shows everything that's supposedly haunted without throwing these people under the bus and ruining their business. However, I think, from what I understand, a lot of Airbnbs are people that are just buying up a bunch of houses. And so I don't feel too bad about that. So you know what? I changed my answer. Yes, I would totally say something is haunted.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, it would be funny if like there was a supernatural Airbnb for haunted places, but the owners just started rigging the place up with like fake ghosts and sounds and like just made it into a haunted house experience.
Bluetooth speakers.
I would actually enjoy that a lot. That would be kind of fun. Like a Looney Tunes short with a... I always think of that one with Porky Pig and Sylvester, where Sylvester's like his pet cat and they go to the haunted house. I don't know if you remember that one.
I don't remember that, but anyway, I got to watch it.
Yeah, it's good. It's
good. Yeah. Really good story. I liked how, obviously, multiple witnesses with all these separate experiences. And I think it doesn't really matter what the subject matter is or how horrific something is. I think that's my own personal favorite quality of a story. Some sort of corroboration, even the minor stuff, it makes the whole thing way more compelling.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we want to move on to my Twin Peaks story here, this was a really interesting one because they also corroborated every single detail in this story. Both people on the hike, they both saw the weird upside down glitched out tent, the weird legs, upside down legs that disappeared. You know, they saw the orbs together. The most interesting part of this whole thing, while it was creepy and weird, some of it could be explained away, but the orbs thing, orbs have always been interesting to me because In photos, they're explainable. Not a big deal. They can be dust, pollen, insects, whatever. But, you know, those kinds of encounters are less interesting or convincing. People usually see them after they take the photo. So it's like, oh, yeah, it looks like we captured an orb. And it's like, yeah, it could be anything. But these two people saw the orbs in real time and they were both there, awake. It wasn't in a photo. And they both experienced everything with each other. So it wasn't just the author experiencing these mental lapses or something of that variety. And with the orbs, we could go either way. It could be like the folktale explanation where these are will-o-wisps or something like that. Or, you know, maybe even a UFO alien encounter, as we do hear about this, you know, the glowing lights in the forests sometimes. But we could accept the boring apologetics, you know, of it being ball lightning, which I absolutely hate.
I thought you liked the ball lightning.
Nope, I don't like it anymore. Listen, lately I've been pretty skeptical. But there's just nothing I hate more than like poor apologetics when it comes to these types of things. An explanation that makes sense, sure. But like ball lightning, it doesn't just float around. Three orbs don't just float around. And that's not what ball lightning is.
Right. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess as far as seeing it in the picture, we also see that with like humanoid stuff, like detailed faces, bodies and all that. So I could, I guess, accept how something wouldn't show up in person, but it'll show up in the picture. But we know that orbs are dust and everything else with the lenses. So that's easy to explain away. But yeah, definitely interesting that they actually saw it outside of the photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it's the other way around. I'm sticking to my supernatural roots here, and I think that it's something more interesting than freaking ball of lightning, whatever, dude.
Electrodes, not electrodes. What's that Pokemon?
Voltorb.
Voltorb. Could be Voltorb charging up.
Yeah. We can just keep moving here since we have a long episode.
Sure, sure. How about the story by Zoe, her brother seeing ghosts?
Yeah.
First of all, big props to mother here, making the right move, confronting it head on, not fleeing it, not ignoring it. Just some good, solid parental instinct. Definitely helped the brother, I think, cope with what was going on. I couldn't imagine actually seeing and experiencing this as a young child and just having your parents say, no, didn't happen. That's bad enough as it is in other circumstances. And even if, like, let's just pretend there's some rational explanation for this. He didn't really see something paranormal. Mm-hmm. It was definitely real for this kid.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important for the mom to have responded the way that she did.
Yeah, I love that. I wish we would see more of that. But, you know, parents are parents, humans are humans. They're always going to act that way. One thing that I found really creepy, and I always find this creepy, maybe it's just because of horror movies, but when something is peeking around the corner, like peeking around the corner from the concrete wall, like they were saying behind the mom, that's extremely creepy to me. Why do things have to do that? why do ghosts and goblins have to peek around corners?
Yeah, they really don't have to. It's like, do you want to be seen or do you not want to be seen? It's like joggers out in the cold. They wear leggings and a vest and ear coverings. The gloves might not have fingers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, are you cold or are you not cold? Do you want to be seen or do you not want to be seen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a cool story. I loved it. Before we go, I just want to touch on my non-human story, the one about the author and their wife by Choir. What I appreciate with this one was that the higher beings that they're talking about, they're trying to get people to be more tolerant and kind. Like, if you're a bigot, seeing them is a far more fearful experience. They show you scarier things, whereas if you're a more tolerant and accepting grown-up, it's a more of a peaceful interaction with them. It reminded me of this abduction story about this guy who was taken aboard a craft, and he was told that he had to kill this little living bug creature by the aliens that abducted him, but he couldn't do it. And it was like a test, and he passed. And maybe I could be remembering it incorrectly because it's been 20 years. I need to dig that up again. It could have been that they wanted him to smash it, but he wouldn't do it, so they kept abducting him. I don't know. I'll dig it up. It was one of those old podcast episodes from a now-defunct show.
He wanted to smash. That's all I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always liked the theory that grays are humans from the future, like an evolved state, and they're just traveling back in time to either change or prevent events from occurring. Either that, or they were us and they slowly transformed into these soulless robotic humanoid beings, and they're trying to figure out how to get their souls back. I'm not just rambling here. These are like legit theories that are talked about pretty often. What do you think about that?
That's fair. They could just be our lines of code that went beyond the compiler, and that's just how we manifest. Yeah, once we break out of the matrix.
Yeah, either that or the offspring of Elon Musk. Who knows?
Oof. Wow. Upside down smile and all.
No hate to the children. No hate to the children
never,
whatsoever.
Never.
But I'm talking about far off future when he starts having robot babies. Fucking weirdo.
Maybe it's not that far away after all.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks everybody so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com and check out our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And check out the new episodes of my other podcast, Let's Not Meet, in the Old Time Radio Cast. See you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.